Join me in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24, please. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As members of the church and members of the body of Christ, each of you, you and I, we're all considered ministers. Now, I have the title, pastor and minister, but as a church, the entire congregational membership are ministers. Many churches and their directories, they will actually have a title over the page, ministers of the church, where they list all the congregants, all the ministers, all the members of the church. Because minister simply means to serve, one who serves. And so as ministers in the body of Christ, we are to serve one another. So I ask the question, what does it mean to be an effective minister to the church? Paul here is going to point this out after acknowledging the supremacy of Christ and citing the amazing grace that we were given, that we spoke of last week, that we were at one time enemies of God doing evil, but now we've been reconciled and brought into the church, brought into the body of Christ. Okay, now what are we supposed to do? Paul does this in other places, explaining spiritual gifts. In Ephesians and 1 Corinthians and in Philippians, he points out everybody is gifted with a special gift, and that is for the edification of the body of Christ. Well, here he goes through another gifting, if you will, and he's pointing out what it means to be ministers. What does it mean to be a minister of Jesus Christ in the church? He does this by describing his own ministry that he has been called to do. Just list them off real quickly. He suffered greatly for the church. He said, I rejoice in my sufferings. He was a devoted servant of the church, gave himself incredibly, sacrificially to serve the church. He was a dutiful steward of the word of God, rightly dividing it, rightly teaching it, and standing behind that teaching. He desired that his listeners would mature in the ways of Christ. And as all believers, he relied on the power of God to accomplish all of this. As members of the body of Christ, you and I, just like Paul, are to be ministers of Jesus Christ. And that ministry is to be accomplished in the specifics of the call you've been given. I, pastor, elder, teacher, deacon, teacher, deacon, kitchen committee, servants, all of us are to be servants. So as we look at this text, we're going to learn from the word of what Paul did, but we're also going to use him as an example. Use him as a model. Because he says, I follow Christ, so follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. So he in his ministry is emulating following Christ. And so he tells the Corinthian church specifically, follow me as I follow Christ. And so that's what we're going to do here. What are the characteristics of an effective ministry? Verse 24, he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. Paul says he rejoices in his sufferings. Paul is sitting in prison right now as he's writing this. He is chained to a guard, and that guard is there 24 hours a day. He has no privacy. He cannot leave the house. It's a house arrest. And so he is bound there. And he says, I am rejoicing in my sufferings. Okay, Paul. Why? He sees his sufferings as a continuation of Christ's sufferings for the church. So he sees himself now, Jesus is gone. He sees himself now as a Christ-like, being Christ-like to the church. And just as Jesus suffered for the church, Paul is now suffering for the church, and he rejoices because that is an affirmation of his call, that he is doing exactly what Christ called him to do. But there's a very unique phrase here we need to be careful with because it can misdirect. Paul states that he is filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, at first glance, that seems Paul is saying that Christ in his suffering lacked something, that he did not fulfill all that he was given, that he missed something. Well, of course, that is not the case. Because when Jesus uttered those words on the cross, it is finished. He had perfectly completed, perfectly performed, perfectly fulfilled everything that the Father had given him to do. So there was nothing lacking in Jesus Christ's work on the cross. So what is lacking? What is missing? What is missing, though, is Christ's in-person presentation of that continuing suffering for the church. Jesus is not here any longer. So his suffering for the church is now missing. And so that's what's lacking, is that suffering model, that suffering role of a minister in the church to continue to teach and lead and purify the church. So Paul is now stepping in to that position of where Jesus Christ was suffering for the church. It is now Paul suffering for the church. He is filling up what is lacking from Christ's continued in-person affliction for the church. Again, Paul is being Christ-like. Jesus suffered for his church. Paul is now standing in Christ's position, suffering for the church. And those ministers of the gospel supply what is lacking in the sufferings of the church. So Paul makes up for it. So now in Paul's absence, guess where that leads us? You can see the connection. Paul is absent, so we, the ministers of the church, are now filling in what is lacking, what is missing from Christ's suffering, what is missing from Paul's suffering, what is missing from John's suffering for the church. We now step into that role of ministers, and we suffer and labor for the extension and the growth and the maturing of the church. You could have easily penned this letter just as Paul did, as a minister of the gospel. Christ cannot personally offer himself to people today. However, in and through you and I, he offers himself so we serve other people. What is lacking in that is Christ's role in providing for the church. And speaking of suffering, Paul writes to Timothy, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier." Just the kind of ministry you want to be involved in, right? Sign me up. Endure hardship. I've said this many times. My Christian walk started when I was 20, although not dutifully. But it wasn't until I acknowledged God's call in my life and worked and began that work toward being a pastor that I understand what that statement means. Ministry is hard. It is hard. And it should be that for all of us. Because we're all ministers filling in what is lacking of Christ's in-person suffering for his church. We provide that. Each Christian, like a good soldier, has been called to suffer. So, ministers, when you suffer and are wrong because of your Christian position, say, "Thank you, Lord." When you suffer like Paul, like Christ, I have not been in prison, but of course Andrew Brunson came to mind. Our brother sits in prison. He is filling in what is lacking for the hardships and the suffering. And I am sure that gospel message is going out in that prison. When you are wrongfully attacked because of your work in the church, when you're ridiculed even by a brother or sister, you know that you are suffering as Christ did. Ministry in the church will include suffering. Paul says, I rejoice in my suffering. I've mentioned effective ministers are to be servants of the church. Verse 25, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me to make the word of God fully known. Minister, again, minister means suffering, servant, excuse me. Minister is servant. Paul said he had become the church's servant as a steward. This is true of all ministers. The word minister, again, means servant. This is what Jesus said about himself when he said, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Suffering through his serving, we are to be good stewards. To be a steward means you are caretaker of another's property. And that comes in many fashions. Here that care is given in two directions. First, Paul is the caretaker of the people of Colossae, the people of which he's writing to. He is their caretaker. These are God's people. And God has put Paul in place to provide for them, to serve them. And he's doing it through the writing of this letter and fulfilling their needs, addressing their needs. New Sterling is God's people. And we, you and I, are to be servants, caretakers, stewards, looking after each other. As I serve you, as the elders serve you, as the deacons serve you, they are standing in this role as a minister, providing for your needs. But you see, not everybody comes into the church that way. It's too many come into the church and ask, what are you, pastor, going to do for me today? Many Christians are too consumer-minded. We walk in the door and say, okay, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? We are thinking about what we can get instead of what we are to give. And it's very easy for the ministry to become about me. Instead of working to be a part of the solution, so many fuss about not getting their way, about not doing what they think is right. A consumer mentality. Leaders in this church are to be servants of this church. I read a story that teaches this lesson from the American Revolution. A man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. Their leader was shouting instructions at them but made no attempt to help them whatsoever. Asked why by the civilian rider, the leader said with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Sir, if you need some more help, just call me." With that, the commander-in-chief, George Washington, got on his horse and rode away. The corporal used his rank to order people around without being willing to get dirty, or willing to be a servant, or willing to help them. But George Washington, the President of the United States, chose to use his leadership to set an example of serving others. That example is for us as well. So the first stewardship of a servant is caring for the people. The second stewardship that we are given concerns the Word of God. Paul says in the second half of verse 25, whose stewardship from God that was given to him to make the Word of God fully known. Effective ministers are faithful stewards of the Word of God. Paul was this in outstanding fashion. The Word belongs to God. He is the author through the Holy Spirit. And this Word is inspired. It is given to us. And we are to be handlers, caretakers of this Word. But it is not ours. It belongs to God. And I am to be one. You are to be one that is a dispenser. Faithful dispenser of this word. And while Christ is away, he has called us, just like he did the apostles, to be stewards of this word and to reveal its great mystery. Now, while this is primarily directed to a pastor and to those who stand in teaching positions, this by and large applies to all Christians, because we all are to be ministers who represent and are caretakers of providing this word to those who need it, to be truthful bearers of this word as we live to it. And so you and I are to live to this word and be good stewards of this word and show this word to our brothers and sisters who need that. How many times have you been in a position in your life and you get a card in the mail, a phone call, or a brother and sister steps along and whispers a little word of reassurance and praise, and it uplifts you? Good stewardship of the word. We are to live and to teach the full counsel of this word. Our motto here is to live the full counsel, to live the full spectrum of life in obedience to the complete counsel of God. I mean, the entirety of God's word applies to the entirety of our lives. And as I said, we are to make known the great mysteries of this word. However, today it's not a mystery. We are revealing that mystery because that mystery has been revealed to us. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, this word was veiled. It pointed to a Messiah of the Old Testament. It pointed to a person coming that would rescue Egypt and be that redeemer of their sins. But it was cloudy. It was not clear. It was mysterious. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, that veil was broken, torn open, and the fullness of the Godhead was exposed in Jesus Christ. There is no more mystery. We know exactly what's necessary to be saved. We know exactly who the Savior is. We know exactly the role of the Holy Spirit. We know exactly these things because they're given to us clearly in His Word. As good stewards, we are to be bearers of that gospel message going out. Today, if you hear this message and understand it, then your ears have been opened to hear and your eyes have been opened to see, and you know the Holy Spirit is there being that interpreter, that this message comes and has a clarity to it. Next, effective ministers have the goal of presenting everyone mature in Christ. Again, the giving of spiritual gifts. I'm not going to go through the list. We can find them. But spiritual gifts are given to each other for the edification of the fellow believer in the church. And then ultimately that brings glory to God. And so we do that to bring you along, to bring me along in my maturity in Christ. When we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should look for the potential in our brothers and sisters, and we should look for ways to build them up, not tear them down. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but we are to be encouraging one another. Stir up one another in love and care, not neglecting to meet together, meaning consistently being a part of the body. If you're seldom ever here, how much building up is going to be done with you or from you? We should look to the calling that God has placed on the lives of our brothers and sisters and help them grow in that area. Not to be a deterrent, not to be a detriment. And we do this through preaching, through teaching, through counseling, through mentoring, through prayer, etc. One of the great joys as a pastor, and I'm glad God has left me 16 years to see this, one of the great blessings of a pastor is to see when you mature in your Christian walk. The other side of that, the great sadness is to see one who does not mature and who remains in that childlike faith. We are to be growing and maturing in Christ, and we are to encourage and build each other up to that end. And then, as Paul pointed out lastly, effective ministers rely on God's power. I've made reference to Acts chapter 1 many times. It was David's theme when he was moderator of Synod, that we are to go out into all Judea. We are to go out and make disciples. But Jesus said, don't go until the Holy Spirit is here. And so we are to go out in the energy. Paul says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he perfectly, powerfully works within me. Perfectly, powerfully works out in me. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. Abiding. Otherwise, we can do nothing. We are the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My role is pastor. Yours is elder, deacon, teacher, committee worker, etc. But we all have a place in the ministry to serve. We are to serve. We are to suffer. We are to carry the weight of this great, great obligation, this great, powerful message we've been given. We are to rightly handle the Word of God. I appreciate it so much when I get calls from you or texts or emails or whatever it is. Say, Pastor Tim, I read this statement and I heard this said. I don't think that's right. Help me understand this. That tells me that your little red flags go up when you hear something that's just not right. We are to be good stewards of that Word, not taking any lax position with it. We are to present each other mature in Christ. Let's help our brothers and sisters grow to be like Christ. And we are to stay connected to the vine, working through the power of the Spirit as we become much more mature ministers of the gospel. I pray that we all are effective, good ministers. Yeah, we will have our failings. We will have our falterings. But when we love each other and love one another and come for the edification of each individual in the church, that causes the entire church, the entire body to grow. And then we just take the next step. And then the next. And all this brings glory to God. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, yes, come. Let us rejoice in our sufferings. Let us be those that are servants. Let us rightly handle and be good stewards of this word. And let us help present our brothers and sisters mature in Christ. Help us with these things through the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.